You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Trump administration unveiled an expanded public charge rule this week, which could impact immigration here in the United States. Here's Acting U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Ken Cuccinelli announcing the change.
USCIS, the agency I head as part of the Department of Homeland Security, has issued a rule that encourages and ensures self-reliance and self-sufficiency for those seeking to come to or to stay in the United States.
The public charge rule mandates that anyone immigrating to the U.S. could be denied a green card if they use certain public benefit programs or if the government believes they might rely on those programs. Our next guest is here to talk about the impact of the new rule, how it fits in with past restrictions, what it says about the policies of the Trump administration. Ted Hessen is an immigration reporter for Politico Pro. Ted, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Ted, start us off, a breakdown of the changes that are coming from the White House here.
This is a sweeping new regulation that was issued on Monday that would essentially say that immigrants who are deemed likely to receive certain public benefits could be denied a green card or even denied visas to get to the U.S. This is a way to essentially say that people who will be getting green cards will be self-sufficient, or at least that's the argument the Trump administration has put forth. The opposition and the counterargument is that it will essentially push people away from using these services that advocates deem essential to immigrant families.
A lot of the debates we've had in the last year or two about immigration have to do with illegal immigration, undocumented immigrants, or people seeking to cross the border and asking for asylum status. This is different, right? This is for people coming in through the legal process.
That's right. This is the most ambitious foray into restricting legal immigration that the president has moved forward with. And it wouldn't necessarily change the number of total green cards that are given out every year. We don't know exactly what that effect will be yet, but it will change the composition of who gets them. Some preliminary data from the State Department showed that actually some earlier changes to this public charge standard had an outsized effect on Mexican immigrant applicants who were applying for immigration visas. Over the course of the last few years, as the Trump administration began to toughen this standard even earlier than the current measure, the percentage of Mexican applicants that were denied really skyrocketed and went from about 1% who were denied under this public charge statute to 44% of the people who were denied under the public charge statute.
Now, the Trump administration points out that this public charge idea isn't new. It's got a history limiting immigration for people who hypothetically can't support themselves. Can you talk a little bit, give us a little background on the history of this public charge idea when it comes to immigration?
There's some truth to the idea that dating back to the late 1800s, there has been a concept on the books that if someone's going to come to the U.S., that they can be denied entry if they're going to become what they called a public charge. And essentially what was meant by that was a burden on taxpayers or on the community. The way that's been interpreted over the years, generally, it hasn't been used very often as a grounds to deny someone entry into the U.S. And for most of its history, there hasn't really been a definition for what a public charge actually is. What we see here is the Trump administration has put forward this new regulation, and it's really lengthy. I mean, more than 800 pages of regulatory language around this that defines what exactly a public charge is and what benefits you might be likely to use that could trigger that sort of designation.
Now, which kinds of benefits would be included? It's not across the board, it sounds like.
Yeah, specifically, we're looking at food stamps, welfare, Medicaid, and housing assistance, what's known as Section 8. This was narrowed somewhat from an earlier draft of this rule that also looked at prescription drug subsidies. So what they're saying, though, is not that you had used those benefits or that you're currently using them, but that you may use them in the future. So there will actually be a test that looks at your age, it looks at your health, looks at whether you have children, your income, your education, and your skills. And it will say, based on that, and perhaps based on any current use of these benefits in question, we're going to decide, are you likely to use it in the future?
Talking to Ted Hess, an immigration reporter at Politico Pro, talking about these changes in immigration policy coming from the Trump administration applied to legal immigrants, saying, hey, it could be harder to get a green card or easier to lose a green card if you lose certain kinds of public benefits. Ted, what has been the reaction? What are critics saying they're concerned about with these changes?
Well, I mean, we expected there would be lawsuits. That came even quicker maybe than expected. Actually, earlier today, the county of Santa Clara in California, along with the city and county of San Francisco, filed a federal lawsuit in the District of Northern California against this policy. And they essentially said that the Trump administration overstepped its bounds and it reinterpreted the definition of what actually constituted a public charge and made it much more onerous for the people who are applying for green cards and who are applying for visas. So that's just one lawsuit that's moved forward. And part of the reason they're putting that lawsuit out there is that they believe that this is going to discourage immigrant residents, immigrant families from using various benefits that are not just listed in this regulation, but also other benefits that people may think that they're not supposed to access or avoid just on the off chance that they may be involved in this rule. And it's what the advocates have called here a chilling effect and essentially a sort of spillover and a worry within immigrant communities that maybe using benefits could jeopardize their chance to get a green card in the future.
And we listened earlier to Ken Cuccinelli, USCIS acting director. He's been asked by some journalists about how the public charge rule sits in contrast to the American Dream ideal, the words in the Statue of Liberty. This has been quoted, Adam, the give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Here's his response to NPR Morning Edition host Rachel Martin.
Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own two feet and who will not become a public charge. That plaque was put on the Statue of Liberty at almost the same time as the first public charge law was passed. Very interesting timing.
So talk about that idea, the rethinking of the Statue of Liberty message there as an indicator of the Trump administration philosophy.
Well, I think the Trump administration and USCIS acting director Cuccinelli have been out there trying to say that if you want to come to the U.S., that you need to be self-sufficient and you can't be likely to go onto federal or onto benefit programs. Now, what the counterargument would be is that this new standard, and we'll see this play out in the legal cases, there are questions about whether this new standard is actually predicting whether you'll go on benefits or not. Is it too onerous, and is it really using scientific logic to show that someone who doesn't meet these certain criteria actually would use the benefits in question? I think that's up in the air at the moment.
I know, Ted, people have been trying to do cost-benefit analysis of immigrants coming into the country a lot. What do we know about the amount of money, the boost to the economy that immigrants provide versus the impact on the economy, on the federal budget of services they receive?
Well, overall, we know that immigrants and immigration grow gross domestic product and increase economic activity. I mean, that's something that I think most sides in this will agree on. I think what people who want to limit immigration would say is that, what's the trade-off for that? Does it mean in local areas that there could be more pressure on certain school systems or certain public services? And I think, this issue and this public charge regulation really kind of matches together two different issues for Republicans this year. And it's interesting that the timing of this, that it's come out right in the run-up to the 2020 election, because it pairs restricting immigration, legal immigration in this case, with trying to push people away from welfare benefits and from public benefits. So I think, we may see it'll be interesting to see how President Trump either embraces this or doesn't move forward with this as he runs for reelection this year.
What do we know about inside the White House? Who is really making the case for this change?
We know that White House senior advisor Stephen Miller, who is widely regarded as the architect of President Trump's immigration agenda, has been pushing for this. And we have been hearing this for over a year, that this was a top priority for him and that he wanted to get it done before 2020. And that means kind of pushing it forward into effect now. And what we actually uncovered here at Politico a few weeks ago were emails that he had sent dating back to June of last year, where he was chewing out senior immigration officials, telling them that they weren't moving fast enough and that months would not be acceptable, that he wanted this in days and weeks. And ultimately, these emails were sent in June. They ended up pushing out a draft version of this in October, so several months later. And then, you know, the regulatory process does move slowly and is deliberate. And here we are in August with the finalized version. And even that may face legal challenges that might not be resolved for months or, you know, even more than a year to come.
Ted Hessen is with us, immigration reporter at Politico Pro. He's with us to talk about the public charge rule being put into place by the Trump administration, how its expansion could impact legal immigration to the United States. Ted, looking at immigration, we have all these sub-issues. This one we're talking about today, changes to asylum rules, the so-called Muslim ban. Big picture, is it just an overall effort from the Trump administration to decrease the number of immigrants coming into the United States?
You know, I think it has been a core issue of the Trump administration to drive immigration. And when you hear President Trump talk, he's mainly speaking about illegal immigration and focusing on the southern border. And even asylum, which is a part of the legal immigration system. But he views that as illegitimate and portrays it in that way. And what's interesting about this public charge effort right now and looking at restricting green cards based on possible public benefit use is that it's really his biggest foray and his administration's biggest foray into tackling legal immigration. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays. It's not quite a build the wall sort of campaign slogan. And the counter message is that he's really clamping down on working class people and on communities where people are scraping to get by and often trying to provide for their families.
Let's go to our callers now. Eva is with us in Northern Illinois. Eva, hi.
Good afternoon. Yeah, where does the line stop? You're saying no for Medicaid and Section 8, but then when does the line get stopped? What wouldn't make somebody say, oh, Social Security and Medicare, people that go for those programs, we're gonna go ahead and not allow them to come into the country?
And is this something you've experienced in your family, Eva?
My mom's been here. She emigrated from Mexico 50 years ago, and my dad passed away. They were married over 30 years. And she had a cerebral brain hemorrhage about 5 years ago. So I take care of her now. She lives with me. And she always has had her green card up to date. But now we're thinking, well, maybe we should go down the road of citizenship. She's got a learning disability, so we never applied for citizenship when she was younger. But I would hope that I could help her out some way. I have kids, so she has grandkids here. There's nobody in she doesn't have any contact with anybody in another country at all anymore. So you know, how it's a fine line here. You know, you keep moving the line, you know, how far are you going to move it where nobody can come in?
Eva, thanks a lot for the call. A lot of points we could get in there, Ted. One is the concern somebody has a change of circumstance, a stroke in this case, could that affect their green card status?
Yeah, I mean, I can say, well, first of all, I should say right off the top that on any individual cases, it's always best to consult with an immigration attorney and someone who can give you legal advice. But I would say that, one concern that I've heard are people worrying about their grandparents or parents. I mean, older people in general who might be less likely to be able to prove that they're at a good working age. I mean, they're not. They'll be at an older age and also maybe have questions about health and financial resources. And there's been a worry amongst immigration advocates that it will be harder for people to either have their parents or grandparents obtain green cards or even obtain visas to the U.S. And I think that that is one concern. On the flip side, what I will say is that in rolling this out, USCIS Acting Director Cuccinelli made it clear that there were certain benefits that qualified for this and did say that his agency would do their best to really advertise what sort of benefits could trigger this determination. And I should note that it's prospective, meaning that it will be effective after it goes into effect on October 15th. So they'll be looking at benefit use after that period or possible benefit use after that period.
Eva, thanks a lot for the call. Do we know yet, Ted, in this 800-page regulation change, if it means that somebody is likely to be permanently reliant on, say, food aid, or if somebody works, there's a recession, they take food aid for a few months or a year, and then they're back on their feet, Could that jeopardize their green card status from what we know?
Well, there's a very complicated test here. And I mean, at the baseline, what they're saying the standard is those benefits I mentioned before, food stamps, welfare, Medicaid, and housing assistance. And they're saying whether the person had used them or may be likely to use them in a 12 months over a 36-month period. So that means using it for a year out of a 3-year period. But what they're adding to that is that perhaps using two of those benefits, like food stamps and welfare, would count as 2 months during that period. So that's the standard they're setting. But I just want to make it clear, what they're saying is whether you're likely to use those benefits in that time. And that's when they turn back to this other test that looks at your entire circumstances involving your age, your health, whether you have children or not, what sort of income you have, and your education and skills.
Talking to Ted Hessen, immigration reporter for Politico Pro. Eva, thanks for that call. Looking at changes to legal immigration policy from the Trump administration, the public charge rule being used to restrict access to green cards if people use or are seen as likely to use particular kinds of public benefits. Back to your calls now. Marie is with us in Pewaukee. Marie, hi.
Hi there. Thought it would be interesting for you to hear a personal story. We were in Belize 5 years ago. When we travel, we always ask for a tour of the embassy in the country we're visiting. So as we're going on our tour of our wonderful embassy in Belize, we ask the question, who are all those people through those doors and what are they doing? A whole queue of people waiting. And he said, they're waiting and applying for visas. So we asked the question, what's involved in getting a visa to come to the United States? But the one we were concerned about was visa.
Marie, your line is breaking up. I think what she was getting at is even 5 years ago, the financial means of a person would be considered as part of that application. That's true, right, Ted? But more people are likely to be screened out now under these new rules.
I think that's right. And, you know, for people applying from consulates abroad, there was always a great amount of discretion that each consular officer would have in deciding whether to approve or reject those visa applications. But what we see that's different now is specifically people who are applying for green cards had infrequently been denied on these public charge grounds, which specifically means that they'll become a taxpayer burden. And the same thing goes at consulates abroad. I mean, in fiscal year 2016, the last full year under former President Barack Obama, there were about 1,000 public charge denials by the State Department abroad. And then by 2018, under Trump, as the guidelines were toughened a bit, it moved up to about 13,000. And that number from the preliminary figures I've seen this year is actually set to rise even higher this year. And then once this new policy is in effect and applied at consulates as well as we expect it to be, I'd expect it will be much higher.
Time for one more caller. Colin is with us in Wausau. Colin, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. When I heard about this, I got a little bit nervous. My wife comes from Thailand, and she's a skilled worker. She has a master's degree in nursing, but can't practice here because in order to practice, she has to take the nursing boards in English. But her knowledge came in the Thai language. So it's not really testing her knowledge of nursing. It's testing, can she translate in English? But either which way, she's redoing her nursing degree, and we are getting government loans, you know, financial aid. Is that going to count? I mean, is she going to lose her citizenship because she's trying to be productive and use the degree she already has?
Colin, thanks for the call. Again, this might not be a case, Ted, where you can answer the individual question, but from what you know, what might apply to that in these rules changes?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is this fear that other benefits will trigger a determination like this. But as I said, it's really the benefits I mentioned before, food stamps, welfare, Medicaid, and housing assistance, and whether you're likely you're currently using them or likely to use them in the future. I couldn't say for sure how taking out loans would play into this because they will be looking at income as part of a totality of circumstances. And in some cases, they're looking at assets and what kind of support you have in the U.S. So I think that, you know, some of these tests will appear subjective because people, just like they do now when people apply for visas and wait to see what the consulate might say or what the Homeland Security Department might say. But I think, you know, the best advice at the moment is to consult with an immigration lawyer if you can, and follow the course of this regulation as it moves through legal challenges as well.
Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Ted Hessen, immigration reporter at Politico Pro. He joined us today to talk about the public charge rule and how it could impact legal immigration in the United States, new changes coming from the Trump administration.